Thank you. Good afternoon or good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to welcome you as each quarter on our quarterly results call. As usual, today's speakers will be Martin Novák, Chief Financial Officer, and Alan Svoboda, Executive Director for Sales and Trading. Now I'm handing over to Martin to walk you through the key highlights of the last quarter and the financial part of the presentation.
Thank you, Barbara. Good afternoon and good morning, everybody. I will guide you through the first two parts of the presentation, as Barbara said. And we'll start on slide number two. It actually shows and highlights our financial results for the first 9 months, with the first line saying that actually our expected EBITDA is 84.8 billion Czech crowns, and net income at a level of 40.6 billion is something that we don't change, so we keep guidance on those numbers. And I will get to them later in the financial part of the presentation. EBITDA has decreased by almost 7%, by 6.9% year-on-year, as planned, to 62.4 billion Czech crowns. EBIT has decreased by 6.3 billion Czech crowns to 43.5, and I think I'm decreased by 34% year-on-year, or 13.7 billion to 26.4 billion, with a few one-off items, most of them non-cash charges in third quarter that actually will be explained later. Nevertheless, we keep our guidance of 40.6 billion Czech crowns, because most of the negative items that could have been accounted for have been accounted for in third quarter. Share price closed on 7.58 on November 7th, and today it hasn't changed almost at all. So on next slide, you can actually see in a graphical format what I just said, you know, with key positive factors that influenced positively our performance, that was actually optimization of power plant dispatch at higher than expected prices. We were running our power plants more, especially when the prices, spot prices, got better than originally expected. So we benefited from higher prices in post-Fukushima environment, and we're trying to run our plants as much as we could during good prices that came with it. We also increased production from renewables, mainly photovoltaic plants, but especially wind farm in Romania, where half of it is already up and running, which is 300 megawatts or 120 turbines, that significantly contributed to our EBITDA in Romania. We also received compensation for the so-called correction factor from 2009, which means the amount that we were not able to collect in 2009 due to different rates on the distribution or different distribution tariffs than reality. So now we are able to collect the difference from 2009 and 2011. And of course, another factor is restructuring in our latest acquisition, which is Albania, that is going successfully. Negative factors that influenced us was definitely newly introduced gift tax on the carbon allowances. That was introduced at the beginning of 2011, so this is something we did not have in 2010. Then, of course, lower power prices, because despite our successful hedging, we hedged at a lower levels than in 2010. So compared to 2010-2011, average hedge price was a little bit lower. And same was the case for exchange rate, that when Czech crown again became stronger, so the hedges of for 2011 were at a lower level than the hedges for 2010. We also experienced lower generation from hydro plants due to lower amount of available water in 2011, and also lower output at the nuclear plant, mainly due to prolonged maintenance shutdown at the Temelín plant during second quarter. The most important impact, apart from the falling prices, was the negative impact of transaction related to sale of Mibrach, which is a German coal mining company, of 2.7 billion Czech crowns, which is a non-cash charge, and I will describe the details later in the presentation. Share price, as you can see, is beating both Prague Stock Exchange and also Bloomberg Utility Index, which we are very happy for. On the next slide, you can actually see updated strategy. Important thing that happened actually in third quarter was that we finished our strategic review. We basically updated had drawn a brand new strategy. We started sometimes in April, finished in August, and presented it to our top management or top managers of our chess group in September. Basically, we sat down and looked at the environment that surrounds us from a absolutely fresh look, trying to define what the potential futures or alternative futures may look like and what would be the most robust cases to maintain high profitability at those high levels. I will talk about it on following slides. We were using assistance of McKinsey consulting firm, which is one of the best strategy houses that we could use for the exercise, and it was definitely very, very valuable what we got. So we are talking about the phase of so-called stabilization, consolidation, future growth. Basically, strategy looks at events 5 to 10 to 15 years down the road. Strategic priorities of FAF until 2025, and why until 2025? Because this is the deadline or date by which nuclear power plant Temelín should be extended by 2 units and the fourth unit, because now we have 2 units. So third unit should be commissioned in 2023. We decide to go for it in 2013, when the final decision should be made, and the fourth unit should be commissioned in 2025. So, when we look at actually our mix, how we would look like nuclear power plants, definitely our aim is to extend Dukovany, which is the older plant, beyond 2025, its lifetime. A nuclear plant would be extended in Temelín, as I already discussed. Conventional plants, we would renew all power plants that are under renewal process today or refurbishment process today, which is Trunežov and Tušimice, and we would also complete brand new plant, Ledvice, that we are working on, and also complete CCGT in Počerady, which is 840 megawatt CCGT. Fuel, of course, is a very important part of our strategy, so fuel, both coal and also alternative fuels, would be secured for the operations of the older plants. This is absolutely critical for us. Although we are in a very comfortable position to be able to supply ourselves 60% from our own sources when we talk about lignite plants. We will also look at improving our position and increasing our share in heat business, in heat generation industry. This is one of our one of the main stones of our strategy. We are now concentrated, as we a few times discussed, on building heat businesses or acquiring companies that actually supply heat to cities, mainly in the Czech Republic, with, of course, ability to generate power as well as an interesting byproduct. We like heating business because it is somewhere in between regulated business, which is the heat part of it, which usually offers attractive returns, but also has a free market portion which relates to electricity. That's basically from what we would look at conventional power plants. Another important segment that actually seems to be working in all alternative worlds, in all scenarios of power prices and power mix, generation mix, actually development in Europe, is renewable, and mainly wind projects. So we already have experience with 300 megawatts that are already built, and another 300 megawatts that are being built in Romania in wind. We would like to extend it up to 3,000 megawatts. Adding power plants in the three core countries that we actually identified that have a very good wind conditions, which means mainly by the shores of the sea, but also that had a relatively interesting level of support to wind projects and those countries that we would look at is Germany, Poland and Romania. Distribution business, definitely protecting distribution business in the Czech Republic and in keep investing into it to be able to generate the returns that we generate so far. Other support priorities or other priorities that actually support our core businesses would continue to be flexible companies, so companies that follows technological changes like photovoltaics, for example, or electromobility. The changes that can actually change the game, change the industry significantly. Of course, we would keep on increasing internal efficiency, internal processes. We are already on top quartile in quite many support functions and also primary functions like distribution, operating distribution assets, for example, in the Czech Republic. But we would want to extend it through entire group. Less risky means closer business profile to our European competitors, which means less lower impact on the electricity prices and adding more, as I said, renewables, heat business, so businesses that are semi-regulated and bring more stability to our cash flow. And of course, very important, being a corporation with excellent relations on both national and also regional levels. National, you definitely need fantastic or really strong relationship on national level to be able to be part of the energy game, as we demonstrated we seem to be. But also on regional level, mainly because of the local heat businesses that are always servicing certain regional geographic area with the heat supply. With organization changes and the new CEO, Daniel Beneš, coming in, we made also a few changes on the management level pretty quickly, actually. Those of you who would be watching the presentation on the computer, they would be able to see the animation, the pictures. But I will just describe the slide that you can see of what is actually happening. Original structure is on the slide 8, where we had a CEO, Martin Roman, COO, Daniel Beneš, and most of the company was reporting to COO, with exception of finance and some other functions like legal, communication, and so on. We are, as of 1st of January, we decided to cancel the position of COO, so Daniel Beneš as a CEO will be in charge of directly running the company. However, we have to restructure the company to be a little bit slimmer and also to allow him to manage really the key parts of the business and not necessarily all parts of business that he would not be able to manage from time point of view. So the new structure actually means that finance division, which is my division, will actually absorb HR and administration. Administration is mainly facility management, IT, all the cars, all the equipment of that nature. That actually the support function, HR, obviously, clearly, we know what it means. And it would be integrated into the finance division, so it would become one, it would have one person to take care of it. Distribution division would actually be merged into division called international. International division is actually run by Mr. Tomáš Pleskáš, who used to be head of distribution in the past. The distribution division, and now he's in charge for the past 4 years of international business. That is mainly distribution, Romania, Bulgaria, Turkey, Albania. So merging those two together is definitely a good fit for transferring the best practices from the Czech Republic to our foreign affiliates, as they are doing business in identical segments. Another change is actually creating two new divisions. One of them is procurement division, Soviet Report Director to CEO, as procurement being a very important part of our EBITDA, because buying things a little bit cheaper definitely helps as well. And in the same time, procurement division is the one that is in charge of tendering of nuclear power plants, so it makes sense to report directly to CEO. And another division that is actually new is strategy division that is led by Mr. Tirani, who is with us since 2006 and came from McKinsey consulting firm, so you'll be able to see actually on the next slide you know, how the entire structure looks like. In the same time, we also elected a new vice chairman of the company, as Daniel Beneš became chairman of the company, which is myself, you know, basically being the one who has all those support functions in my portfolio, and being the one who is in charge of finance management, which is important. So this is actually reiterating our strategy of not only looking at say typical operational metrics, but also the financial discipline that is very important. So next slide, you can see pictures of the people and the divisions that they are heading with all the details. Last slide from the first part of the presentation is actually an important event that happened on October 31, which was Monday, or the Monday before last, when we actually handed over tender documentation to three bidders for the new nuclear project, which was Westinghouse, Areva, and Škoda company, together with Atomstroexport and Hydropress, part of the Rosatom company. They took over the tender documentation that had about 6,000 pages. Of course, they took it over electronically. On the picture, as you can see, it's actually in a printed form, as a, just to demonstrate how many pages of detailed requests and explanations it is. The company should present their bid by July the 2nd, 2012, and we would take about a year to select the winner. And by the end of 2003, we should sign contract with the winning supplier, if any, of course. So now I'm going to guide you through the financial results. On the first slide, or slide 12, first slide from the financial presentation, you are actually able to see our operating metrics. So important one is EBITDA, as I said, that year-on-year went down by 4.6 billion Czech crowns, or almost 7%. Net income by 13.7 billion, or 34%. Operating cash flow by 15.7 billion. On the other hand, CapEx also decreased by 9.8 after a peak year 2010. And net debt increased by 25.6 billion to reflect actually our CapEx program that we are undergoing today. Installed capacity has increased somewhat by 600 megawatts, which is mainly 127 megawatts in photovoltaics in the Czech Republic, 300 megawatts in Romania, and about 70 megawatts in Dukovany, where we upgraded another unit from that now has 500 megawatts. We are actually turning the power plant that had four units, 440 megawatts each, to four units, 5, 10, 5, 5, 5, 10. Megawatt per installed unit. So this is adding another one, upgrading another one. We generated roughly same amount of electricity as in the previous year, slightly less, 1% less, because of the longer shutdown in Temelín. Distribution time customers increased somewhat. On the other hand, sales went down, mainly as a result of competitive situation on the market. And sales of heat are somewhat lower as well because of milder winter in 2011 compared to 2010. Number of employees as part of further ongoing restructuring of our business went down by 900 employees, or 3% year on year. Key drivers to net income change can be seen on slide 13. So So there you can see that our net income quarter or year on year went down from 40.1 to 26.4 billion Czech crowns, with 4.6 coming from EBITDA, 1.7 from higher depreciation, 8.2 coming from other expenses, and I will explain this in detail, and with a positive item 0.8 coming from income taxes. So on next slide, we will actually discuss EBITDA. So the first column from the previous slide, which is 4.6 negative charge, or negative item, there you can see our EBITDA went down from 67 billion to 62.4 billion Czech crowns, which is, as I said, almost 7% decline, in line with what we expected, out of which 5.3 billion, so more than actually the decline that we experienced on entire EBITDA, 5.3 is attributable to gross margin from power production and trading. Electricity price change attributes to 3.4 billion. So 3.4 billion is an effect of lower power prices between 2011 and 2010. Lower volume due to lower output is 1.3 billion. Emission rights is negative 0.3, so we have lower income from trading CO2 than in 2010. And a bunch of other effects is another 0.3 billion Czech crowns. On the other hand, the positive factors is mining that is adding 300 million Czech crowns due to higher output at our SD coal company. 1.5 billion, very important factor, is coming actually from the new project in photovoltaics in the Czech Republic and from wind in Romania. It's about 50-50 shares, so about 750 million each is actually contribution of photovoltaics in the Czech Republic and wind in Romania. Regulatory environment actually in Bulgaria worsened our results by 600 million. Because as of July 1, 2010, till June 30th, 2011, there was a relatively low distribution tariff. As of July 1, 2011, the tariff got much better, but in our results for first 9 months, we enjoyed in 2011 6 months of this bad tariff, but in 2010, 9 months results, we enjoyed only 3 months of this tariff, so that's a discrepancy. And others, again, the small items are billion Czech crowns negative. When we look at the same number from a segmental point of view, so EBITDA actually divided into segments, the biggest negative change comes from, obviously, from power production and trading in Central Europe, which is Czech Republic, basically, 5.7 billion, being compensated by better distribution and sale in Central Europe, mining, other activities, and also power production and trading in Southeastern Europe, which is Romanian wind farm, basically, 0.6 billion. And another negative item is actually distribution in Southeastern Europe, which is Bulgarian distribution that I just described. Now we will look actually more detailed to each of those columns, showing you where it is coming from and what are the key drivers. So when you look at the first column, power production and trading, negative 5.7 billion, on slide 16 you can see where it's coming from. It's basically all coming from the Czech Republic, and as already mentioned once, it's an effect of lower power prices of 3.4 billion and of course exchange rate as well, and lower volumes, 1.3 billion negative. Poland basically stays flat at 900 million versus 1 billion. Contribution to EBITDA by segment from power production and trading in Southeastern Europe, positive. In Bulgaria, we actually can see decline of 100 million Czech crowns, mainly because our power plant in Varna was running more than in 2010, because as you know, Varna is collecting most of the money from selling coal reserve, but when it is called to run above certain limits, the regulatory tariff is relatively unfriendly, and therefore it's actually losing money rather than making money. Romania from zero, which was actually, which meant we did not really have any wind farm at that time up and running yet, last year, or just enough to cover, to become, to be on zero. We now are positive and we have some 100 million contributions from those 123 ones. Distribution and sales into Europe, in distribution, not much change, 100 million Czech crowns negative or 2%, coming from 700 billion increase in gross margin, out of which 1.2 billion is coming from higher tariffs in the Czech Republic, which is very good news. On the other hand, it was compensated by lower margin from combined generation of electricity and heat. Important item that actually gets the positives on margin side into negatives is again something that will not repeat itself in the future, and that's negative 900 million Czech crowns that we were actually returning to photovoltaic plants to companies that plant projects in photovoltaic business in the Czech Republic, and paid us those money in 2009 and 10 as a fee for being connected to the grid. But then the tariff has changed so rapidly that they did not even start building those plants, and now of course we are obliged to return the money back to them because they did not actually apply for connecting the plants because they did not build the plants. Sale has improved significantly from 1.1 billion to 2 billion Czech crowns, so by 80%. The main reason for this improvement is that our sales business was able to acquire electricity cheaper than in 2010, of course. So higher sale margin is the main component of this increase. We also have a positive gain of 100 million Czech crowns from our gas business in the Czech Republic. Distribution and sale in Southeastern Europe. In Romania, it looks like a decline of 26%, but really 2010 was very positive because Romanian business was compensated for 2008 lower tariff that actually did not cover 2008 payments. So then, of course, 3 years later, you are getting it back, and 2 years later, in this case, was 2010. So 2010 was extraordinarily good, 2011 is a standard year. In Bulgaria, I already discussed it, 0.5 billion lower due to difficult regulatory tariffs from 1st of July 2010 that we enjoyed for 6 months in 2011. Then Albania, 300 million improvement due to 200 million coming from restructuring and 100 million coming from better, lower bad debt. Mining, I think we already covered 3.8 versus 3.5 due to higher mining activity. And now we are getting to other income and expenses that started EBITDA, which we just discussed from various points of view, various angles, that went down by 7%. Depreciation and amortization went up by 1.7 billion, clearly because of higher level of capex on power plants that we have mainly coming from Romania, where the power plant is up and running, and of course photovoltaics in the Czech Republic as well. The big negative part is actually coming from other expenses that I just discussed at the beginning. And other expenses are 9.4 billion negative versus 1.2 billion last year. And the breakdown falls on following four lines. Interest balance, we incurred 1 billion Czech crowns higher interest because of higher level of debt, obviously. Foreign exchange rate gains and losses and financial derivatives. In 2010, we had 1 billion positive income. Now we have 800 million negative, which is a change of 1.8 billion. This change of 1.8 billion is coming mainly from lower income from MOL. Basically, the share prices share price of MOL went down, and at 30th of September, which is a balance sheet date, it was at its lowest level in 2011. So we experienced 800 million Czech crowns negative share change, and then remaining part is coming from foreign exchange losses. That results mainly from unhedged portion of our debt that is in euros, and also which is a smaller part, and bigger part is coming from foreign exchange losses that relates to Polish subsidiaries and Romanian subsidiaries, with Polish and Romanian currency weakening against euro. Gains and losses from associates is another important line item. There you can see that there is 3.6 billion negative charge, and this actually is 2.7 billion from Mibrak, and I will explain it on that next slide, and 900 million coming from Turkey, where Turkish operations, that we use equity method of booking their earnings, as we don't control the company. They have loans in dollars, and of course dollar has strengthened against Turkish lira, and this is the effect of about 900 million Czech crowns in those numbers. We have other which is negative 1.4 versus positive 0.5, and in those 1.4 negatives, 2.8 negative, so double what we can actually see as a negative effect, is coming from new carbon tax, which makes 2.8 billion for the first 9 months. So there are 1.4 billion positive items that actually compensate for the carbon tax. Income taxes, however, did not change very much, because most of the items that I just described, which is more, which is foreign exchange losses, which is Mibrak, are all non-cash charges, and therefore they also have no tax effect, and that's why the tax is really not calculated or reduced by the tax effect of those items. So that's how we get actually to net income of 26.4 billion Czech crowns, where we, when we look at our full-year plan and the fourth quarter that we are in the middle of, we believe we should be able to deliver 40.6 billion Czech crown net income. Although it may look like it's a big stretch, but all the negative charges that have gone there are probably there. For us to achieve it, of course, it is important to keep operating our plants. So nothing should happen to our plants, and in such a case, we should be able to deliver our net income number. And of course, there is one assumption with the MOL stock being on the level where it is today. So if there is a meltdown of financial markets and MOL stock goes down, we will see the effect of MOL taking down our net income as well. But again, there is no impact on our cash flow. Now I will explain you Mibrak situation. So there might be, there normally are quite a few questions about our disposal of German plant, or German coal mines. We prepared two slides to give you, to put more light on it. As you know, in 2009, we acquired Mibrak, German coal mining company. We acquired half of it together with EPH, which is our partner in the company. When we bought it, the independent evaluator actually acknowledged that the value of the asset is 3.3 billion Czech crowns, our share, I mean, higher than what we paid for. And therefore, we booked in 2009 3.3 billion into net income as a negative goodwill write-off, which means it has a positive effect. Now, when we sell the company, we actually sell it at a profit to EPH, but of course 3.3 billion was probably unrealistic at the time, with situation in Germany worsening significantly. So we sold the company at a profit of 600 million on equity part, plus about half a billion Czech crowns on interest that we received from the company, from shareholder loans. But those 600 million is an actual profit. So we have to reduce the value of the company from 3.3 by 2.7 billion so that we actually can see what is the profit, what is the booked profit from the sale of 600 million. So again, in 2009, we had a cash outflow, we bought the company, then we refinanced the company and paid all the money back to us. We basically indebted Mibrak and paid the purchase price back to us and DPH. And now we sold the company after 2 years with a profit of about 1 billion Czech crowns. But in the meantime, we booked a positive 3.3 billion in 2009, non-cash uplift in the price, and now we booked 2.7 negative. So technically what happened from cash flow point of view, we bought the company, kept it for 2 years and sold it with a profit. But accounting wise, there was a big bump upwards in 2009 and now there's 2.7 negative in 2011. So that's the explanation. Why we are actually selling Mibrak? We are selling Mibrak because of a complete change in German regulatory environment and power environment, power industry. We were acquiring Mibrak because, you know, we are a power generating company, so we are in power generation business. We wanted to build a project in Germany or build a power plant just by the edge of the coal mine on the spot called Profen that we bought. Now we sold it back to EPH. We bought it from Mibrak at that time. And, of course, making power from the coal that you own is an ideal situation. However, in those 2 years, especially this year, situation in Germany has worsened significantly. The level of support of Saxonian government went down to minimum. And the regulations and the rules are indicated to be relatively strict and stiff, including carbon sequestration requirements on new power plants. So basically the project of building a lignite plant in Germany is very questionable these days. The environment in Germany has also changed in terms when a lot of wind farms were probably built on the north of Germany and east, with a lot of power flowing into the region where Mibrak is operating. So there might be situations when coal or lignite plants may have difficulties to place their production because the wind, the green power, according to the law, will always have a priority. So, for us as a power generator, owning a coal mining company without real ability in the foreseeable future to build a plant doesn't make much sense, and that's why we decided to divest the mine. We sold it at a profit, 46 million profit, euro profit in 2 years' time, and we feel it's not a bad deal. Accounting treatment is on next slide, on slide 23, and I just described it with some operating metrics of Mibrak. So this is more for you to understand in details what has been done. On next slide, 24, you can actually see development in Q3. Our EBITDA went down in a very same pace as in full 9 months, 7%. Mainly coming from power production and trading in Central Europe, Czech Republic, same factors, lower prices, stronger currency, 1.8 billion. Distribution and sale, half a billion positive, power production and trading in Southeastern Europe positive, which is mainly wind farms, and distribution and sale negative, which is Bulgaria. On next slide, 25, you can actually see effects of all those negative items that I just discussed, which is Mibrak, which is more shares, and which is foreign exchange losses, and carbon tax, which are mainly one-off items, with the exception of carbon tax, that repeats every quarter compared to 2010, so that you can see significant drop in our net income to 2.4 billion Czech crowns. Cash flow position, we generated something like close to 53 billion Czech crowns, invested about 31 billion into our CapEx, paid dividends of 27 billion and got new loans of 21 billion Czech crowns. Our liquidity position remains strong. We are committed to keep A rating, which of course has a certain requirement like net debt to EBITDA of no more than 2.3, which we are comfortably fulfilling. We are at 1.8 now. We have a space of 30 billion Czech crowns of committed short-term credit lines. We have extended half of them from 1 year to 3 years, actually. You can also see our bond maturity profile at the bottom. With that, I will hand over to Alan, who will get us through the trading position.
Thank you, Martin. I'll try to briefly describe the trading part, starting with consumption. The consumption growth year-on-year has stabilized at around 1% or 0.9%. Nominally, we have seen some drop, but adjusted for temperature and the number of holidays and weekends, it is actually a stable growth pattern we have seen also before the changes on the global markets back in 2009. On the generation side, on next page, we experienced, let's say, stagnation or small decline in both of the main areas of production, that is coal-based and nuclear-based. However, we are entering now the fourth quarter where power prices, due to seasonal effects, are typically higher than average. We plan to dispatch the coal fleet in a bigger amount. Also we expect that we don't experience any more prolongation of the downturn of the nuclear capacities. They will run at full capacity all the time and will turn to a 1% growth year-on-year. Overall, we expect to produce 64 terawatt-hours out of our generation fleet. That was the domestic one. The generation fleet abroad is going to experience a higher growth, but that's partly due to unplanned dispatch of our Varna plant in Bulgaria first quarter this year due to shortage of power in the region. This dispatch generated volume but did not add much to the margin because it's done at prices that are close to cost. Nevertheless, on annual basis, this will be compensated by lower utilization in the remaining quarters. The biggest growth item, which is a very positive profit-creating growth, is in Romania, where our wind farm will generate close to 0.7 terawatt-hours and obviously receive also the subsidies. The good news for Romania is that the subsidy scheme was finally confirmed to provide the double number of the green certificates to each megawatt-hour produced, so the subsidy system will essentially double going forward. Coal mining, very good news. The coal mines are utilized more. They also were able to intensify the mining activities, so they provide more coal to our coal fleet as well as to the industrial heat and municipal heat off-takers. Overall, we expect the growth of almost 13%, reaching 24.5 million tons mined this year by the end of the year. In terms of the hedging of our own generation on the three-year time horizon, you see that now we completed the hedging of 2012 by locking in the remaining volume, about 6%, mainly in the seasonal products for 2012, and that sort of concludes the hedging. We also concluding the hedging on the currency side for 2012, and we made some progress in the years 2013-2014, basically moving in the center of the corridor we have defined ourselves for step-by-step hedging, so adding about 5% or 4% respectively in years 2013 and 2014. We also signed some additional hedging contracts with the duration until 2020. where we are locking in a fixed price with exception of the CO2 exposure. And this way we are freeing up risk capital from the refurbished power plants and potentially deploying it elsewhere in the generation mix. On CO2 emissions, very positive news. In the last quarter, the Czech government compiled and approved the Czech National Investment Plan and sent it to Brussels for final approval. This investment plan basically means that CEZ should receive 76.5 million allowances of CO2 for free until 2020, and in exchange we committed to invest about 2.6 billion in modernization of our fleet and replacement of some of the coal capacities by gas-fired capacities. These investments are anyway part of our master plan that we presented before in our effort to reduce the average emission of CO2 per megawatt hour produced from 0.6 today to about 0.5 by 2020 and 0.32 or 0.35 by the time that we launch the additional two nuclear reactors in Temelín location. The plan has formally complied with all the requirements of the EC, so the confirmation in Brussels should be rather a formal confirmation, and the deadline for that is March next year. However, we expect that the confirmation might come actually sooner than at the final deadline set by the rules of the EC. And finally, some numbers from our end user sales activities. You see that our cross-selling of gas to our power customers, retail customers, is successful, and we became the largest alternative gas supplier for households in the Czech Republic. And in Slovakia, we also became the largest alternative supplier of both gas and electricity, basically being the first on the market selling both commodities at prices competitive to the established incumbents. And with that, I think we are ready to take your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind and decide to withdraw your question, please press star followed by two. Our first question today comes from the line of Patrick Hummel. Please go ahead, Patrick.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. Three quick questions, please. Number one, the organizational changes you've been talking about, Martin. Can you also give us an idea how much that is going to save on in terms of the annual cost reductions? Number two question, you left your full-year guidance unchanged. Just taking the implied Q4 numbers, it's 14 billion on net income and 15 billion on EBIT. So it looks like a bit of a stretch on net income levels. Can you just give us an explanation why you stick to the net income target? And number three, question for Alan, maybe. Can you just give us the updated achieved prices for the hedge volumes for the coming year? Thank you.
So, first of all, organization changes, you know, the changes that are in effect of January. At the beginning, the very first thing would be relatively, from corporate point of view, immaterial saving of basically not having COO and having less divisions. So despite the fact that we create two new divisions, we cancel three old divisions. So there will be some personal costs and all those things that are related to the top management. Long term, or not long term, very short term, there is a goal for me. By the end of June, we should define, and we are now actually in the process of selecting a consulting firm to help us with it. We should define the future state of shared services within CEZ Group. We now already have accounting shared service center And we would like to add more functions into it, and that's why actually HR and facility management is always under myself. So this is part of the cost-saving initiatives. By the end of June, we will know what we want to do, and then it will take us about a year and a half to implement all those changes, because it will be pretty significant. Same will be the case in distribution. I would not expect huge cost savings, but definitely, you know, hundreds of millions of crowns on shared services, and that would probably be realistic, but not billions, you know. So this is the magnitude that I can give you. Distribution, bringing the best practices from Czech Republic to abroad would continue. And again, that would probably be magnitude of hundreds of millions to be found there. Net income, important question. 14 billion seems to be a bit stretchy, but we are able to deliver it under normal operating conditions. For example, first 3 months of this year were about 17 billion. Last year, we had lower income in first quarter than that, but there were quite a few extraordinary charges that will not repeat themselves. One of them was write-off of goodwill in Bulgaria of about 3 billion Czech crowns that we will not have this year. There was also relatively high CO2 provision that seems like would not be the case because we have enough carbon credits. And quite a few of those one-off charges that will not probably be there. You know, so yes, I would say it's not a conservative estimate as it used to be in the past, but it is still achievable. If it were not achievable, we would have lowered the guidance. But I don't absolutely say that we are going to achieve 100%. You know, that's not the case, but it looks more likely than not.
Okay, is it just to reconcile that a bit, isn't just looking at the delta on EBIT and net income level, it's basically almost the same for the fourth quarter. Does it mean that the EBIT side looks conservative from your perspective as of now, or do you really expect significant positive currency effect, whatever, that is already visible for the fourth quarter? Because otherwise you should have a negative net financial result, and I guess you should also pay some income tax.
Well, again, income tax is something that usually really influenced only by the operating numbers,
yeah.
not by the financial gains and losses.
Yeah.
But again, you know, what I said, you know, I am looking at net income more than a CBase, and net income is something that we feel you should be able to deliver.
Thank you.
And last point, the numbers we were selling this time pretty much on the average achieved price levels, so the numbers have not changed significantly. For 2012, it is 52.5 euro, for 2013 around 54, and for 2014 around 55.5, averaged out to half a euro. So basically, similar numbers to those reported in August. As I said, we are not making any directional bet now on one or the other way of the market going. We sell in the center of the corridor.
Okay, thanks very much.
Our next question today comes from the line of James Brand. Please go ahead, James.
Hi, it's James Mann from Deutsche Bank. I just had a couple of questions on new nuclear, and the first being, when you come round to making a decision on new build in 2013, if you could give any details around how you plan to go about making that decision on the project and the framework for assessing whether to go ahead or not. And secondly, whether there is or whether there's expected to be a discussion with the government around the framework needed to incentivize new nuclear, whether you would be expected, if a positive decision is made by CEZ, to build based on market prices, or whether there could be scope for discussion around a subsidy, either against capital or on prices.
Well, first of all, we are aware of the fact that nowhere in the recent history there has been a project for nuclear construction that would be built purely against the market with no no additional arrangement or comfort provided. So we expect that this debate will be triggered here as well to find out what's the optimal setup for the construction in our portfolio and the final the allocation of the capacities and obviously also the project upsides and risks. With regard to evaluation, it's in relative terms, it's obviously going to be defined by very strict criteria in the tender process. And with regard to the absolute attractiveness of the project, we have to wait until 2013 to basically assess the market conditions, the expectation for future, let's say, development of all the policies that influence directly or indirectly power prices and all the generation environment in the EU level, and only then we will be able to make a qualified assessment.
Thank you.
Our next question today comes from the line of Natalie Casselli. Please go ahead, Natalie.
Hi, good afternoon. Natalie Casselli from JP Morgan. Three questions from me as well. Firstly, on the dividend policy, can you confirm that you're going to remain with your policy of a fixed payout of 50 to 60% out of the reported net income, or would you consider moving that up a little bit in order to keep it flat year on year? And second question is on your nuclear production. So it was the new target of 28 terawatt hours for this year seems slightly disappointing versus the target of 31 terawatt hours in 2013. So do you think that target for 2013 is still realistic given the issues in particular that you've had at Temelin? And then the third question is on the Turkish assets, Ash Energy. I'm just wondering if you think that realistically in today's markets you would be able to sell the assets, you know, without having a negative impact in terms versus the book value comparable to what we've seen from Mibrag this quarter. Thank you.
Okay, so I will get the first and third question and leave production on our own. So dividend so far is, as we said, 50 to 60% of reported net income. Of course, I can imagine that, and you know historically, that we were moving more towards 60 rather than 50. So this is something that we stick to so far. However, to tell the truth, to make a decision about the dividend or proposal to shareholders about a dividend, it's a little bit too early. So we will really wait for the full year, how it ends, and then look at the issue once again. But so far, 50-60%, closer to 60, I would say. Akenergy, we received a few offers in Turkey. We are now talking to the bidders. And of course you are right that the situation for selling anything these days is not perfectly ideal. So it may happen that there won't be no sale because we are definitely not going to sell with a loss. So that's, we don't have to sell. So we would then stick to what we are doing. We would continue in building a Gemer power plant, add value to the company. Restructure distribution that is doing very well, and that's basically it. You know, so there is no decision made.
Yeah, and we are under no pressure to sell. It was an opportunistic attempt, which may or may not work out. And if not, the Turkish market fundamentally is still very attractive option for us. With regard to nuclear, you're right that the numbers this year are below our targeted figures. I believe we had targeted something around 29 terawatt hours. Unfortunately, we experienced longer than normal shutdown for fuel replacement, where we had to fix also some other operational technical things we discovered during the preventive maintenance procedures. But this is a one-off thing, so it did not slow down the efforts to improve structurally the availability through replacement of some of the components and also replacement of the fuel in Temelin. So we don't expect this additional delay to happen next year. So the base for next year is basically the 29 plus additional improvement we plan to achieve next year. And then again, the results of next year should get reflected in 2013. So we are still working with the target of 31 terawatt hours to be online for the full year of 2013.
Sorry, so just to follow up, for next year, you're guiding towards 29 terawatt hours.
Something between 29 and 30, closer to 30, I believe. But we are still finalizing the numbers. We will. We cannot tell it with certainty at this moment.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question today comes from the line of Philip Gostchalk. Please go ahead, Philip.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions from my side, please. So the first one, a follow-up question on the net profit guidance. Just to be very precise, can you confirm that you do not make your net profit guidance conditional on a positive one-off from MOL-related options? And second, on the CO2 market, so CO2 prices went down quite massively in the recent past. Could you please share your view on the evolution of CO2 prices going forward and maybe what insight you may have from your contacts in Brussels on the future of the ETS scheme? Thank you very much.
So I'll answer the first question. Yes, we do not make it conditional on the MOL movement. So if MOL shares are where they are today, 40.6 would be reachable. If MOL shares collapse due to some meltdown on financial markets, it will have an impact on our net income.
The CO2 prices, you're right, we have seen for a short while even breaking through the 10 euro barrier, but it's back up again above 10. However, until the macroeconomic outlook will improve, we won't see a strong further strengthening, I believe, because the assumption of the market is that if the overall production of all the products where by production of these things CO2 is emitted, including electricity, if this declines due to economic slowdown or recession, then there is pretty much no gap left in the system until 2020 to be covered by structural changes in the production mix for which the CO2 prices would need to be high. However, I believe that if the economic slowdown is not severe, or if it is, then due to the actions of the EU, the system will be brought eventually back to fundamental levels. Otherwise, it will become useless and will not serve its purpose. And I haven't heard any serious statements from the European Commission saying that they want to basically abolish this system. So I think it will regain credibility again, either naturally or through some tightening of the bolts on the supply side by the EU eventually. With regard to when this is supposed to happen, that's obviously very difficult to time. During the economy being weak, it's probably not going to be politically acceptable to do it in an aggressive way, but step by step, or by maybe extending the system by another 5 years with a tough target for 2025, it might be achievable.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question today comes from the line of Deborah Wilkins. Please go ahead, Deborah.
Yes, good afternoon. I have three questions. The first is whether or not you would or are considering the acquisition of RWE's Czech gas transmission or distribution businesses. And then, is there anything binding in terms of an assurance from the government that the gift tax on the free carbon will not be extended post-2012? And then my final question, is there any estimate for the nuclear capex, either by 15 or by 20, that you may have to be preparing yourself for?
Okay, so I will answer the questions. RWE You know, we know that Net4Gas is for sale in the Czech Republic, which is basically the transmission grid. We are not really interested in those types of assets that usually offer relatively low return. Very regulated, subject to quite a lot of risks, especially with Nord Stream opening. You know, so we would probably not look at it. Carbon tax extended or not. The law says that the carbon tax is actually will be applied for 2011 and 2012, with the logic that in 2013 we will start auctioning certain amount of credits that basically, so that the cash flow to the state from the carbon tax is replaced with us buying those credits. So we cannot, of course, guarantee anything, but the law would have to be changed to extend the tax. It's not in a situation when we are waiting for the law to be abolished. So negative thing would have to happen to us rather than us lobbying for a positive thing to happen.
But there is the whole piece of legislation is also under the scrutiny of the Czech Constitutional Court. So it's unlikely that before a decision of the court is taken that there will be any new legislation passed that would mean extension. So at least there were no announcements from the government that would intend to do anything like that.
And CAPEX, nuclear CAPEX, very good question. Nuclear CAPEX would be limited, basically negligent till 2013. If we make a decision to go for it with somebody, the CAPEX between 2013 and 2016, when the final notice to proceed or construction will start, because it takes about 4 years, almost 4 years to license the project and prepare all things, would be very limited as well. So we would not start spending a lot of money, and it's actually one of the conditions that we are giving to or criteria that were given to the bidders, and even worse, it's a rejection criteria. So if somebody wants us to spend more than very low hundreds of millions of euros till 2016, they would get rejected and disqualified from the bid. So that's basically where we stand. So first, cash outflow that would be seen in our books would come in 2016 at earliest.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Brim Barry. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. A few small questions. With regards to the connection fee for the photovoltaic plants, how much is left of that to return this year or an absolute value? How much is left to return? How much do you usually provision for CO2 in the fourth quarter, if you could just remind us what the number usually is around, and if you could update us on the situation with collecting overdue receivables from the Romanian rail company.
First question, actually, if you could remind me, you know, because I just made notes of second.
You said you had so far returned 900 million worth of...
Yes, so, you know, I don't have the number in front of me, but I would expect that pretty much, it is, most of it has been returned. Because when you are a company that did not build photovoltaic project by the end of February, you are not going to build it because the level of support is equal to zero, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So you have already applied. Why actually leave money with chest, right? You know, so you have already applied and got your money back. So I don't have any precise number, but I think that there will be very little to return, if anything. CO2, normally the provision at the end of the year used to be 1 to 2 billion, between 1 and 2 billion Czech crowns. Now we really, and I really cannot say because we did not calculate anything, but if any, I would expect a significantly lower number. And Romanian railways don't pay. as it is their good habit, they pay once in a while, once in a year or two. So we build up provisions for bad debts in Romania in our distribution, and this is what is definitely having a negative impact. Good news is that they always pay at the end. Now there are negotiations going on with international financial institutions on the loans to Romania. And part of those loans to Romania should also go towards paying the bad debt on not only to us but also to other electricity suppliers. So the issue is being discussed on international level rather than national level these days.
Okay, so if they can borrow from the IMF, there's a chance you might see some money.
Exactly.
From them
exactly.
In the fourth quarter.
Yes. But I'm not sure whether it's going to happen in the fourth quarter, you know, but it might happen next year, you know, something like that.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from a line of Ivo Kuznin. Please go ahead, Ivo.
Hi. I have a couple of questions. One question in regards to the performance of the Romanian wind farms. I'm just trying to reconcile the performance in H1 and 9 months. I think I noticed that in H1, if I'm correct, the contribution was 0.6, and after 9 months, the contribution is 0.7. I was just wondering why the contribution was so weak in Q3, if my interpretation is correct. And the second question I have is, could you potentially give guidance for the overall investment spend for the full year 2011 and 2012? Thank you.
So I will answer the question. This is actually about rounding, you know. So 0.6 is something like 0.56, you know, and 0.7 is something like 0.749, you know. So this is really the contribution of the wind farm is about below 200 million or around 200 million per quarter, but it's a rounding thing, you know. So in one way it ended up to be rounded up, and in one way in 9 months it ended up to be rounded down. But the wind farms are running on a stable output. So that's the answer. And then you asked about CapEx, about how much is to be spent in Romania?
No, just overall, across the group.
Across the group? I think now we are at about 31 billion Czech crowns that were spent for first 9 months. And I think for 2011, we have a plan to spend about 55 billion. 55 billion. So it is about 40% to be spent. The pattern of spending is, however, such that towards the end of the year, it is accelerated. You know, and not everything is. You are still waiting for the invoices to come and accruals to be made. So I think we will be there. It is still below the original plans. We expected to spend more than that. We expected, as you know from our presentations, to spend about 10 billion Czech crowns more, so about 65. We will end up somewhere at 55. It is mainly due to delays in some of the projects. The biggest delays at the power plant Prunežov, where we were doing, where we are still going through a permitting process. But also with the Ledvice power plant, Alstom technology, the boilers, which are delayed as well.
Okay. Just clarify something. Sorry, two clarifications maybe. One is in regards to wind farms. Could you remind, please, what the expectation on EBITDA level for the full year for the Romanian wind farms? And the second clarification, can you give sort of maybe a renewed guidance on 2012 CAPEX as well? Thank you.
On 2012 CAPEX? For a Romanian wind farm, I think normally the plan is about 1 billion crowns to be generated in EBITDA for this year, for 2011. Of course, while we are adding the turbines, it would be more. When we are fully on the 600 megawatts, I would expect this to be double that number. So that's what it is in regards to Romania. And then guidance on 2012 on CAPEX. Basically, we did not update it. So when you look at what we presented, I think the beginning of the year, we were giving 5-year guidance. Of course, with 10 billion sliding from 2011 to 2012, you would expect that 2012 could be bigger by that amount, but not necessarily full amount, of course.
Okay, thank you very much.
As a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. Okay, our next question today comes from Peter from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, it's Piotr Dzięciołowski from Credit Suisse. I have just one question. I've seen some news recently that you plan to build additional 2 gigawatts in Romania in wind farms. Can you please confirm or deny that, whether that's the plan? And if you can just then please clarify what kind of return you expect. You mentioned earlier because that you that the subsidy system was changed in Romania, so what kind of IRRs, what are economics on potential projects like this? Thank you.
Well, I start with the explanation of our ambitions in further renewable capacities as part of this new update of the strategy of the corporation. Our ambition is to build up to 3 gigawatts, that is 3,000 megawatts in renewable capacities, mainly in wind, throughout the region of Central and potentially Southeastern Europe. We have created a short list of countries where we consider the regulatory framework to be more attractive than in the others, Romania included, especially because of this doubling of the subsidies now. However, we also keep in mind that we already have quite a significant exposure to regulation of renewables in Romania, so we don't want to put all the eggs in one basket, so to say. And so we want to diversify the portfolio. As you probably read in newspapers, we also look into Poland, into Germany, and into other countries where renewable subsidy schemes are attractive. We like to develop these projects early on, so not to buy ready-made or ready operating assets, but we at the development stage, we have built our capabilities for developing from early stage in Romania, and we want to replicate that capability also elsewhere. And with regards to Romania and the returns, the commercial value of one certificate per megawatt hour produced is about 50 euro, I believe. So that 50 euro per megawatt hour is something that we expect to get on top for every megawatt hour produced in the wind farm we operate there.
Does this mean that your run rate that you mentioned at the earlier question, a 1 billion Czech crowns, will eventually double or that will go up as well on the existing plants?
Well, not necessarily, not say it would double, because normally you sell power at the market price. Then you get one green certificate that oscillates between 27 to 54 euros. Now it is closer to 54, and you are adding another 27 to 54 more, you know, so maybe 30% higher. What is definitely important is actually adding new turbines. You know, this is something that will double our output in Romania.
Okay, thank you very much.
Second green certificate is a fantastic news. You know, I mean, we did a lot to make sure that this is going to happen, and finally it's there. So we should get it, I think, for October or November, first time, and it should last for 5 years.
Our next question today comes from one of Philippe Arpeshin. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, Philippe Arpeshin from Natixis. I have three questions. The first one is, could you just remind us the compensation you received regarding the distribution for 2009, if we may have this amount in absolute value? And the two other questions are regarding nuclear. First of all, are you going to choose one SEM supplier for the two units of Temelín? or could you spread this, I would say, construction market between different suppliers? And secondly, one of the most famous consultancy company in Europe issued a report regarding the gas prices in the coming years in Europe, I would say forward 2014, mentioning that even if there is a quite sharp increase in 2014, on a long-term basis, gas price will remain more or less at quite low level. Have you any today plan B regarding those nuclear investments, means switching to other technologies? As you mentioned yourself, that 13 going to be the date of your, I would say, official launch or not, the go-no-go of your project. Many thanks.
Well, let's start with this last question first. Give Martin some time to prepare for the other questions. Gas is obviously a volatile commodity, but we don't expect gas prices to go significantly lower than they are today. In fact, the market is consolidating. It's the overhang that has been created due to the recession in 2009 and slow development in 2010 has been somehow digested. And also the LNG producers are now more looking at profit margin rather than just volume. So I don't think that gas will get cheap. What's more uncertain is the gas to power spread, which has come down significantly, but because there is pretty much no further room for decline, I guess the question is more when will the margins improve again. And that will be probably driven by the need for flexible assets in the grid, in the system, which the gas for capacities really are. So that could bring up their value again in the system. With regard to our go-no-go decision, as you see also from our strategy that was described briefly today, we keep on diversifying our overall asset base. We also want to have a stake in renewables. We maintain big stake in coal generation. We are still going ahead with construction of several of the gas plants. So we don't want to make a single bet. However, there is a strong indication that nuclear generation is the most robust decision considered on an individual basis and definitely so on a portfolio basis. So on a portfolio basis, this seems quite attractive because it's CO2-free, it's the economics is the lowest, it's the least cost of production from all the alternatives. And we are advantaged to have a perfect size and strong capability to undertake such a project and also political and public support. So you don't usually get alignment of all these key factors as we do here in so many projects.
Just one question, additional one. I mean, part of my question was, are you going to choose the same supplier for the two units? Means, have you any fleet? I would say a building logic in your nuclear investment, meaning that for Dukovany it's going to be also the same supplier, or are you going to widespread between different technologies or, and different suppliers?
So the tender has been published in a way that we are tendering for two units for Temelin.
Yeah.
With the option to build, basically buy additional units for other locations, including Dukovany and including potentially Slovakia. But two will be confirmed and the option kept for the others.
Okay.
So in other terms, we want to have a unified fleet. That's definitely part of the concept, which will also bring down, we believe, the prices in tendering, because it's going to be about not only the current but also future cooperation, and we also want to keep down our maintenance and operational costs due to standardization.
Okay, thanks.
And I would answer actually the correction factor in distribution. From 2009, it's something above 1 billion Czech crowns, which seems to be always kind of running correction factor between the years. So that's what it is.
Okay, thank you.
And I'm afraid we have time for one last question.
That's fine. There is only one final question, and that comes from the line of Peter Caesar. Please go ahead, Peter.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. It's Peter Chesnut from KBC. Just, I've got a follow-up question regarding your capital deployment, which is obviously a bit slower than you had initially thought. And can you give us some indication whether this has a sort of knock-on effect that could have in terms of project pipeline, or you still plan to commission Prunerhoven and let it have power plants by mid-2014? Thanks.
I think mid-2014 for Ledvice is definitely a realistic case, and I think this is already postponed. Prunerhov depends on how fast we will get with the approval process, but it's still the date that we keep. But there is more risk than in case of Ledvice.
Okay, thanks.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, so thank you everyone for participating, and have a nice rest of the day.
Have a nice day. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.